From Friday night football to the county fair. From picnics in the park to hometown parades. From big cities to small towns, we are proud to serve our communities. Last year, we volunteered 19,000 hours and donated $5 million to local charities. Because lending a hand to a neighbor and investing in the people and places around us is the right thing to do. We are Park National Bank, and we are proud to serve you.
Member FDIC.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Lumos. Hello, friends. Welcome back to Shellcast Radio. I'm your host, Ezra, a.k.a. Bill, also known as Friendly Tech Wizard and former captain of the Hufflepuff Quidditch team, the Planet Wizard, yours truly, me. Please welcome your lovely design witch, the Fascination of Fourth Year, and my wonderful co-host and yours, Lottie, a.k.a. Fleur.
Hallo, schön, dass ihr da seid. Willkommen zurück to our little cottage on the outskirts of Tinworth. Come on in. This is the 41st episode of Shell Cottage Radio, in which we will discuss chapter 15 of Harry Potter and the Chamber of Secrets, Aragog. Before we do so, we will fill you in on the latest cottage catch-up, quiz Bill, again, with trivia questions, and expand our knowledge about magical and fantastic beasts. I had to look up if it's really 41st. Mm-hmm. It sounds different. I don't 41st? Know. It sounds 21st, 31st sounds fine. And then 41st, I feel like I've never heard this before.
51st. Wow. 50th.
41th.
41th.
I don't know. It was just interesting.
This is the 41st.
No, oh, sorry.
Excuse me?
I hope you didn't answer.
What was that?
Excuse me. I'm sorry. Yeah, we're having a weird Nutella kind of healthy Nutella style peanut butter powder in there cream thing.
This is good.
And I was just, we had donuts the last 2 days and I was like, oh my gosh, I'm craving something sweet. I can feel it. It's not good. Have some apples. Okay, we had some apples. Still craving something, you know, and...
You threw like a last minute dash of peanut butter in here.
I know.
Which is so good. Lottie kind of, I think she would have been really great at potions. I think she is great at potions because she enjoys making stew, types of soup, and then she makes these desserts where she just throws stuff together. Literally just mixes it, tastes it, tries it, adds something else, and just keeps going. There's probably like five different versions of this where she could have just stopped at that version and it would have been fine, but she went for perfection. So it's great. Really good.
Thanks.
What did you actually put in here? Just chocolate and still
so
like some...
It was like one of those chocolate blocks, right? The, it's like no sugar. It's for baking.
Right.
And I melted that. Put some erythritol. It's like a powdered sugar, but it's made of erythritol.
Yeah.
And put that in there. Some heavy cream. Some... Just a little bit of coconut oil.
Yeah.
To mix it better. And then the last bit was peanut butter.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Okay. And coconut flakes.
Coconut flakes. There we go.
And it's just mixed together and put in the freezer for a little bit.
Right.
So that's like a secret.
Thickening.
That's the secret ingredient or
temperature.
Or action you have to take. So it really, really tastes great.
That's the thing they leave out of the cookbooks. And that's the thing that was, you know. And advanced potion making, that's what Snape was doing. He was adding in the extra little tidbits. You think he was going home and making, like, not going home, but going up to his dorm room and making extra potions? Like, you do it in class and then you're done.
Going down to his dorm room?
there. But, like, going up, going down.
Oh my gosh,
yes. But probably just instead of just one time and done with that potion, goes back and works on it again to perfection or something. Because, like, how would you figure out all those different things to...
No, yeah, I think he did. And I think that's his passion. And I think he could have been he could have done so much with his skill in potions. Yep. Because the way he talks about potions in the first book, right?
Yeah.
Like the simmering and bubbling.
And snaring the mind.
Yeah. And I can just picture him like in the Slytherin common room, just looking out the window and seeing the lake and seeing the, the darkness of the lake and just, yeah. I don't know. And brewing his potion there in a little corner where no one can really bother him.
Yeah. I like it. So anyway, a little cottage catch up there for you in terms of we were just having more dessert. you know, we were like, my God, you guys, come
we
on
always
now.
Talk about, we are.
Guys, okay. Yeah. Just having.
like outside of the cottage ketchup, we don't really have that many sweets. And we just save it for our recording, actually.
We do. We really do. Because I think the last time we actually talked about donuts.
I know. That's why we had the donuts. You know who got us hooked on the donuts was David and Crystal. Who they brought like the best donuts from their hometown, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, from Zanesville. So we did like this an unexpected game night, and they brought a bunch of different donuts from their hometown. Some bakery or whatever they've mentioned multiple times, and I forget what it was called. It wasn't like, I can't remember what it was, but I'll have to look it up. But anyways, you go listen to that episode. David gives a plug. It's called an Unexpected Game Night, Unexpected Trivia Night, and it's our most recent episode on Up Talkin' Tolkien. And he basically, they brought these donuts, and I was like, my gosh. I remember Lane's kids went crazy for them. I kept drifting back into the kitchen like, what was any of those donuts left?
I know. It was so good.
Oh, boy. They were great.
Yeah.
And then it happened to be my niece's birthday the other day. So
we had to get good donuts again.
Love you, Rachel. Absolutely love you. And yeah, had to get some donuts for them. They had a big adventure day planned out for her. So hopefully she had a great day yesterday. We didn't hear or see from her afterwards. They were just gone.
I know.
On an adventure. Staying the night with with her great aunt and her little cousin and stuff. Yeah. So it's great.
So cute.
Yeah.
One thing I forgot to mention the last two episodes. It was probably like a week and a half ago when I was co-teaching high school English.
Yeah.
And we were reading Macbeth.
Oh, yeah.
And I had a moment in that class where I was like, oh, my goodness. I never realized.
Right. The connections.
The connections that our favorite band, I don't know if it's your favorite band, but like one of the popular bands in the Wizarding World, the Weird Sisters.
Yeah. Mm.
Their music was frequently played on the Wizarding Wireless Network. Despite their name, all 8 known members were male. Interesting. Mm-hmm. But the name, the Weird Sisters, is from Macbeth.
Right.
Those are the three witches
that show
that come to him and give him his
like prophecies. And stuff like that. Yeah, for
and
sure.
I was like, oh my goodness, and I had to look it up if it's actually that connection, and yeah, it says it on
the Weird Sisters. Yeah, yep. makes sense that J.K. Rowling, knowing where she lives and where she's from and the influences of Edinburgh and Scotland and all that, that there would be some connection back to Macbeth and stuff. So
yeah,
really, really cool actually.
Okay, here we go. In the etymology, it says, the term Weird Sisters was the name given to the three prophetic witches in the play Macbeth by William Shakespeare. Weird being Old English for fate or destiny.
Whoa.
Macbeth stated to be quite possibly the favorite Shakespeare play of Harry Potter series author J.K. Rowling.
Mm.
Had another allusion to Harry Potter and the Prisoner of Azkaban, where the frog choir sings double, toil and trouble, a direct quote from the play. Okay, that is new to me too.
Right, right.
That is so cool.
Yeah. Because we say that, double, toil and trouble, and it's from that. It's from Shakespeare.
Wow, I love that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I'd forgotten that as well. We taught that, I think, it's been years ago since I taught that in CP12. And it was a lot of fun. It was really cool.
Yeah.
But it's like crazy. I enjoyed teaching that so much because then what I normally taught in CP9 is Romeo and Juliet. So, oh my gosh, that play just got to be every year we did it. And I was like, this is, all right, Mercutio. Like, it's dramatic.
Yeah.
Everything's super dramatic. I mean, that's what Shakespeare did, right? They're all
stuff. But... Do you have a favorite Shakespeare play?
Let me see. The one I'm most familiar with Romeo and Juliet, and then A Midsummer Night's Dream is pretty cool. Mm-hmm. I know that one a little bit. I would say Macbeth actually is probably the the one that when I taught, I think it's just because I had not taught it before and I hadn't really, didn't really remember it, because you don't always, I mean, you can't teach all of, you can't go through all of Shakespeare's stuff necessarily in high school.
Right.
And I didn't go in as an English major originally in college. So I only got a few more plays there, and I had to do some exploring on my own. I actually took an intro to Shakespeare course in college though.
Oh,
and
cool.
Yeah. 'Cause I have that book somewhere where it has all of his plays, and it was wild. It was quite a bit, 'cause we had to read basically all of them, and I was just blitzing through trying to survive, honestly.
Yeah, same.
But yeah, Macbeth is really good. We should actually watch. There's a couple really good adaptations of it that you can watch. If you guys have a favorite, by the way, let us know. Maybe like your favorite movie or adaptation that we could watch. It'd be fun. I haven't seen it in a long time.
Sure.
I haven't read the play in a long time because I haven't done CP12 in ages. What grade were you in? Were you in 12th grade when you were doing that, when they were reading Macbeth?
No, we were reading it in school. I had it in college.
No, when you were substitute teaching.
Oh, yeah, they were.
Were they juniors?
I don't know if they were juniors.
Because sometimes they do
seniors.
It junior or senior year. It just sort of depends.
And every school's different. I can't really remember if it was 11 or 12th.
Mm. We always, introducing those freshmen to Romeo and Juliet, we got to get that in.
Yeah.
Right and early.
Right.
So, cool. Okay, awesome. Awesome. So just a little bit of catch up there. We've been working hardcore on Harry Potter Hangout, by the way. Go check that out. And after we have this chapter and one more chapter, and then going into Prisoner of Azkaban, we're going to be dropping more episodes on the podcast feed. So continuing with the reread as is, once per week, and then we will be dropping some additional sort of standalone things that we're going to be doing as videos over there. I'm really excited about it because just this morning I was reading to you. Well, it actually came up in our reread where we talk about when Harry first heard Tom Riddle, he first heard that name.
Yeah.
And it felt like an old friend.
Yeah.
Like that name, something felt like I didn't have friends. How can that be? What is something that has been with me so long and maybe, so it's this bit of Voldemort's soul that has been there. So anyway, that is coming up. I'm dropping that into a short later on, and I've got it all kind of writ up. Essentially, the only part of Voldemort's soul that was still redeemable actually leaves Voldemort because he's attacking an innocent child.
Yeah.
Right?
It is
and
crazy.
That's the part of himself that was unwanted. Mm-hmm. That's what's said at King's Cross. It's unwanted, and then therefore it goes.
He thought it made him weak.
Yeah, he thinks that it makes him weak, and so it's the part he wants to extinguish. It's the part that actually, because his soul is so unstable, it then, will be transferred over to Harry Potter. So that's just a little sneak peek on some of the things that we want to start talking about, because there is some buzz going on around the Wizarding World community in terms of like new adaptations and things possibly coming out. Like they've talked about a live action Cursed Child thing. I don't know that that's what they're going to go with, but who knows? It's been a popular play. See, I hope they realize that anything additional in Harry Potter, I take that back, because they've done Fantastic Beast and that didn't seem to go over very well, right?
I don't know why,
I don't know why either, but I really wish.
I feel like it could have been so much more.
So much more. I really think they may bring back a, if they brought back the original cast in some capacity.
Please.
It just breaks my heart
that Newt's story is over. And young Dumbledore, we don't know what happened.
They got to go back. Like, they have to finish
it up.
There's
no way they don't fill that gap ever.
That's
I think
crazy.
In some shape or form, they will give us whatever is in between there.
Right.
Have to.
Yeah. Just drop two more movies somewhere as you're dropping other stuff and get the fandom hype. See, it's because it's the only thing that's being dropped that it gets a lot of attention and highly criticized. Whereas if you had people just excited about Potter in general and there was more things coming out, I think to continue the timeline or to continue Harry's story or to continue, the journey of Hogwarts afterwards. That would be really cool. And you've now got like all this different stuff that you can go back to and fill that story and maybe connects to a new story coming out. I don't know. I'm just spitballing.
And we still have to be patient because now Legacy is even pushed back for PS4.
Hogwarts Legacy, pushed back.
Remember
the other day when I was like, should we just buy a PS5? And you were like,
hey,
no.
It teaches us patience,
I know,
my friend.
I am patient. Okay.
By the way, you also have to be patient. I'm sorry to disappoint you, but after this chapter, we have three more chapters to go.
Oh, we do?
Mm-hmm. It's the next chapter after Aragog is Chamber of Secrets, then the Heir of Slytherin, and Dobby's Reward.
Why? I thought there was only two more, but I get you. Okay.
Well, after this, it's three more.
Three more.
And then,
okay.
Yeah, we have. I'm so pumped. I love this book. But also, I'm so... Remember yesterday, I was trying to read the chapter. I packed it. We were over at Judad's house.
Yeah.
and I accidentally packed The Prisoner of Azkaban. Yeah. I pulled it out and I was like, oh no.
Which, that is a book we're really excited to get to. Because yeah. Prisoner of Azkaban, it's been years since I've read it.
Me too.
When you start a reread, you get through Sorcerer's Stone, Chamber, and like, you know, things crop up. And sometimes if you don't follow through, you get through 1, 2, and 3. And yeah, so I really need to dive back into Prisoner.
And also Goblet.
Yeah.
There's so much.
Massive jump up when you go to
Goblet. We got to listen to Goblet here and there. Because, I want to listen ahead a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, me too. Me too.
Okay, let's go. All
right, train me.
Okay, ready,
Trivia
Padawan?
Me. Yes.
Okay, so I wonder if you remember, because it's from this chapter, but even if you haven't heard it in a while, that would be a hard one. What is Aragog's wife's name?
Mrs. Aragog?
No.
No, I'm just kidding.
I know movie people are like, what? Aragog has a wife?
I'm just kidding. I'm just messing around. It's Maragog or something like that.
It starts with an M.
M starts with an M.
So not bad.
It's close. That was close. Miriam? Miragog?
Miriam.
Miriam. Miriam Gog.
Aragog and Miriam.
Maybe Era is just his first name. Era and Gog is actually his surname, right? So this is Era, and so this is Mr. Gog, and his wife is Mrs. Gog, and it's Miriam Gog.
Okay, you're close. It's Mosag.
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 M-O-S-A-G.
Mm.
Mosag.
Wow. And Harry found him a wife. Like,
no, not Harry. Hagrid.
Sorry, Hagrid. Sorry. My bad. Yeah, Harry definitely did not. My bad. I meant to say Hagrid. Thought I said Hagrid, but I guess not. So Hagrid found him a wife, which is interesting because...
So cute.
You know, he had to probably go far.
You know, Hagrid and Newt would have been the best friends.
I know. Mm. Yeah.
Because they both see something in those beasts that others can't.
Yeah.
And they... Yeah.
Well, this next one, I just read it. This might be
tough. Okay. Yeah. Number two. Name every single victim that has been petrified until now during this school year. So we don't know some prior victims, maybe when the chamber was first opened, if there was anyone petrified before Myrtle was killed.
Yeah.
But that's not what we want to know. Just during this school year. Give me all the victims.
So we have, first up is Mrs. Norris.
Yes, sir.
I don't know the exact order of these, but Mrs. Norris... I know at one point, my gosh, Justin.
Finch, Jay Finch.
Jay Finch. and then the, oh my gosh, why am I blanking? Nearly Headless Nick.
Yes, Nick.
The ghost.
Mm-hmm.
And then you had Hermione and Penelope. Colin?
Yes.
Is that it?
Yes. Six in total. So
six.
I think it was, the order was Mrs. Norris first, then Colin Creevy and Nick. No, then Nick and Jay Finch together, and then Hermione and Penelope together.
And then Colin was between, where was he? Was somewhere.
He was between Mrs. Norris and Nick and Finch.
Really? Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
So there we go. We have six victims in total.
Wow. And then the seventh will be Jenny, right?
Yes, but I asked for the petrified. So Jenny was never really petrified.
Right, no, I know you, but I'm just saying victim. Not petrified victim, just in general victim, somebody taken. I mean,
yeah.
I'm looking for that key number seven. Yeah. You know, how do you make it seven? Well, Jenny.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Jenny's that your counts. Seventh victim. Right.
So. And, I mean, you could count Harry as a victim since he gets bit by the snake or the basilisk.
Yeah, okay. I mean, we can count Moaning Myrtle, too, and make it nine. All right. Jiminy.
All right. Good job, though. Mm-hmm. I think that's it.
Okay. Nice.
And you're probably wondering about our weekly Magizoology lesson. What would you guess?
I'm guessing. But we already did the spider, didn't we?
That's what I was going to say. Yeah. So this week, we will have you open a page in the Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them book. And randomly discuss a beast. And by the way, if you are wondering why we wouldn't cover the acromantula in this episode, that's because we already have talked about the acromantula in episode 12, Philosopher's Stone chapter for the Keeper of the Keys. So make sure you go back and listen to that if you want to know more about Aragog and his species.
What, you rescue these creatures?
Yes, that's right. Rescue, nurture, and protect them. I'm gently trying to educate my fellow wizards about them. Come on.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, sweetie, what do you got for us? Just open our
random. So some of these
page.
Are really small. Let's go with the, have we done the Yeti yet?
Ooh, no, I don't think so. No? I like it. Okay. The Yeti.
A year with the Yeti. We just did our How Powerful is Gilderoy Lockhart video, which I think is hilarious, and please go check it out. I think it's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
People voted on that, and he did spend a year with a Yeti. What did he learn?
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. The Yeti. So my good friend, by the way, shout out to Lane from an Unexpected Podcast. He enjoys a good conversation about Bigfoot, the Abominable Snowman, or the Yeti. We call it Bigfoot around here. He believes hardcore in this individual, this mystical being. I
mean, maybe there's something, you know? Some people have seen stuff, so.
Yeah, tracks.
Where does it come from?
He talks about literally being in Southern Ohio and going through the... like the woods and out on some hiking trail with his wife and hearing this sort of like, like noise. We might have to cut that advice out of there. What do they do? I don't want to go too loud, but they do sort of like, it's a howl that they do and it's on this show.
Okay.
And it's just sort of like, oh, no, that's not good.
Well, sound like Ron who says, oi.
Oi. It's just Ron Weasley. What do they do? It's like, oh man, I gotta pull. Hold on. You got to hear this. Let's see. It's called Bigfoot Call.
Nuh-uh. They didn't hear
that's
that.
That's what they do.
Sounds like a monkey. Let me try the mic. Or a goat. Sounds like a goat.
What was that?
That was like a pitch. Did you hear that?
It's a mountain goat.
Okay, go right ahead.
Wow.
Isn't that wild?
That does sound wild, but...
That's the call that these guys do. This is some show back in the day where they were like... finding Bigfoot, and they would do these calls. Lane and I were out on the trail one time, and he did like a... it was like middle of the night, and he did a call. And I'm telling you, somebody was up down the way and called back. And I was like, oh, my gosh.
Hey, if you're listening and you would call yourself an expert on Bigfoot, the Yeti, or Sasquatch.
Sasquatch, yeah.
Then please.
Squatch.
Let us know. We'll have you on.
Oh, if you got a story too? Oh, my gosh. That would be radical. If somebody had a story of this, it'd be crazy. Remember when Andrew sent us like his... yeah, guys, when you send your stories that are spooky and kind of scary, that's actually kind of fun.
Yeah, I know, right? Yeah. I love it.
Anyway, all right, so this is a mom classification quadruple X.
Whoa.
Yeti. A native to Tibet, the Yeti is believed to be related to the troll... though no one has yet got close enough to conduct the necessary tests. Up to 15 feet in height, it is covered head to foot in purest white hair. The Yeti devours anything that strays into its path, though it fears fire and may be repulsed by skilled wizards.
Wow.
And that's it. That is your entry right there. So think about that for a second. I mean, which skilled wizard, you know, who was the wizard that Gilderoy took memories from that went and actually had this whole year with the Yeti? Is that totally made up?
See, because
No. I mean, think about this. Hold on. Maybe Gilderoy, that was one situation where he did not trick a wizard into giving him that story. He just made up a great story with a mythical kind of fantastic beast, and he said a year with the Yeti. Maybe he's really a great writer, and we're not giving him enough credit there.
So here it says... in 1992, Gilderoy Lockhart taught his second year Defense Against the Dark Arts class about the Yeti using his book Year with the Yeti. However, based on his fraudulence, his information was taken from a more accomplished wizard or witch, and his own version was twisted with inaccuracy and arrogance. In 1998, the Quibbler questioned whether four Yeti footprints were sighted or if it was another prank.
Whoa.
Xenophilius Lovegood misspelled Yeti as Yeti with a double T. Why? I don't know. Maybe he named his Yeti.
Hey, just because you can't spell something right doesn't mean that your information is inaccurate.
That's
okay?
True.
So.
Yeah.
I read the Quibbler, to be honest with you.
You would?
100% I would read the Quibbler.
I think it would be fun, but I wouldn't believe it.
Don't know. Sometimes it's sort of like people don't believe in Bigfoot or these other things until something happens in the woods and you're like, whoa. I'll never forget when I was in the woods one time and I heard a screech owl for the first time.
Oh, yeah.
I was scared terrified to death. Mm-hmm. I could not believe I heard that. I thought something was attacking something else or me, and I was like, oh, my gosh. Yeah, it was just...
I mean, back in the day when you had no means to figure out what it was, and you couldn't just go on the internet and type in what you heard, and then it says, oh, it's a screech owl.
Right.
People probably thought, oh, this is an evil spirit, or...
Yeah, yeah.
You know, that's
what
they...
Right.
Kind of believe.
Right.
So the Yeti...
So let me ask you, hold on.
Yeah?
Would you want to have or befriend a Yeti?
Oh, if I could befriend one, totally.
Really?
Wait, wait. If the Yeti is...
Because we don't know if they're bad.
No, we don't know. And if it's a good kind of Yeti.
Yeah.
And it's, like, cute and cuddly.
Right.
And it could, like, protect me. Yeah. I would hop on the, you know, back of a Yeti and have it carry me through the mountains. And
I always think, when I think of the Yeti now, I think of the Wampa, the Wampa's lair in Empire Strikes Back, where Luke goes in and it captures him, and he's got to, like, you know, get his lightsaber, and that one seemed like it was going to eat Luke. So, I mean, I don't know. I
like the Yeti.
Aragog was going to eat would eat individual. I mean, he ends up being friends with Hagrid, so you can befriend him, right? I mean, you can make friends. But
so you wouldn't, you say?
Nah, I'm good. I'm kind of a believer in that stuff. You know, it's like it's a little scary. So they're just. Yeah, I'm good on the Yeti.
To live in the portions of the Himalayas.
Himalayan.
Himalayas, encompassing Nepal and Tibet. Okay, so it's more like of an almost like Eastern, like Asian type of thing.
Yeah, different parts of the world call it different things.
True, we were in Portland last year.
Sasquatch.
And they have a similar creature in the mountains. Yeah, the Bigfoot.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeti is the Yeti is described as being more white, because it's with that region
because of the snow.
The snow, snow covered.
Yeah,
but in the forest region, it's more brown and blends in. It's just a different name.
Yeah, cool.
Mm-hmm.
All right, are you ready to talk about other scary creatures?
Yes,
hidden in the forest.
Let's do it.
Okay,
chapter 15, Aragog. Summer is slowly approaching, but the mood in the castle couldn't be more gloomy and fearful. There have been more attacks. Hagrid is gone, Dumbledore is gone, and all after-school activities are canceled. Some individuals seem to enjoy the new atmosphere at Hogwarts, however. Draco loudly praises his father for getting rid of Dumbledore and suggests that Snape should be the new headmaster. Professor Lockhart is chipper as ever because in his eyes, the culprit has been caught. They wouldn't take Hagrid to Azkaban for no reason, right? And he claims that everyone is safe again. Harry and Ron can hardly stand being around those two, and every glimpse at Hermione's empty chair painfully reminds them that something else has to be done. Finally, in Herbology, Ernie McMillan apologizes to Harry even after he suspected him. Harry discovers a bunch of spiders hurrying off to the Forbidden Forest. He and Ron know what they have to do. That night, they sneak out under the invisibility cloak and follow Hagrid's advice. They go along with the tiny spiders into the darkest part of the Forbidden Forest. It is pitch black, and even the Lumos charm does not reveal much of their surroundings. All of a sudden, bright lights and loud noises cause them to jump. Arthur Weasley's Ford Anglia approaches Ron and Harry through the undergrowth. First, they can't believe their luck, but in the next moment, the boys are lifted off the ground and carried away by something large and hairy. Two enormous spiders carry them right into the heart of the gigantic colony of their eight-legged kind. They wake up the largest and oldest of them, but Daddy Spider, Aragog, could care less and allows his children to go ahead and eat the humans. When Harry informs Aragog that Hagrid is in trouble because the Chamber of Secrets has been opened again, the giant Acromantula is willing to pause and talk for a second. He tells Harry that Hagrid has never opened the chamber and that he, Aragog, is not the monster. In fact, the real monster is a creature that the Acromantulas fear so much that they don't dare speak its name. When the girl was found dead in the bathroom 50 years ago, Hagrid tried to protect Aragog and has kept him safe in the Forbidden Forest ever since. At the end of the story, Aragog seems tired and speaks his farewell to Harry and Ron since he cannot deny his children fresh meat. Harry and Ron panic as hundreds of gigantic spiders start approaching them. Just when all hope is lost, a bright light leaps forward and the Ford Anglia comes for the boys' rescue. It drives them out of the spider's nest all the way back up to the edge of the forest. Still sick and terrified from the nightly adventure, Harry and Ron realize Hagrid is innocent. Desperate for another hint, Harry recites Aragog's words over and over until he stumbles upon something. The girl that was killed 50 years ago was found in a bathroom. What if she never left that bathroom?
Summer was creeping over the grounds. What do you associate with summer, my friend? Blue skies.
Okay.
Warm, fresh air filled with, you know, blooming flower scents.
Spiders. I don't know.
It is such a contrast. And I gotta say, I enjoyed reading this chapter last night. Mm-hmm. I cuddled up on the floor, on the carpet floor, while you were watching Oak Island. Your favorite show.
Love it.
I think it's great, but I can't watch it. Just like the spiders. Sorry, for 2 hours.
Just like the spiders, you cannot stomach that show. Wow.
And ow.
Serves you right. Mic bop.
That with serves you right. With my front teeth.
I thought you just said, what the front teeth? That's kind of funny. Anyways, sorry.
So I was curling up on the floor, just reading the chapter, mm-hmm. and really going back with Harry and Ron to the Forbidden Forest, away from the movie, which is also a great scene, but different. And yeah. And I thoroughly enjoyed the difference that is just little tiny things that are different in the book.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the first things that really struck me, and I had to look up when she describes the atmosphere in and around the castle. It is supposed to be a beautiful time when summer is approaching, right?
Mm-hmm.
Almost the end of the school year, some free time, even though exams would be coming up normally. But it says the sky and lake alike turned periwinkle blue, and flowers large as cabbages burst into bloom in the greenhouses. Mm. I was like, what is periwinkle blue? Do you know?
No.
So periwinkle is a color in the blue and violet family. Its name is derived from the lesser periwinkle or myrtle herb.
Whoa.
It's called Vinca minor, which bears flowers of the same color. So I just took that from Wikipedia.
Okay, that's cool. The myrtle herb?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
I thought that was pretty cool. So it's like a mix of blue and violet.
You know, sorry, do you have something else to say about that? Because no. That's clever.
Yeah.
I just think I love clever writing when mm-hmm. you find things like that where it's like, okay, it's we chose periwinkle mm-hmm. as the color. And when you look a little further, you know, okay, cool, it's just describing blue. But then you go a little further and you're like, it's actually related to the myrtle herb. Myrtle is what this whole book is about.
I know.
Wow.
You want to know something else?
It's the reveal.
I mean, I know. It starts with periwinkle, which is a myrtle herb, and it ends with, oh my gosh, the girl that was killed was in the bathroom, found in the bathroom. What if she never left?
Right.
So it begins and ends with myrtle, this chapter. So
let's
pretty
go.
Cool. And get this. Did you know that in Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire, the book, Hermione Granger wears a periwinkle blue dress to the Yule Ball?
Whoa.
So we all have that picture of that like pinkish, it's like a pink, purple, not purple, it's pink.
Yeah, it's
so
pink.
It's really pink in the movie of her beautiful pink ball gown, but actually in the book it is periwinkle blue, and I like that more. I love that. I love like a purplish blue style dress would look so awesome.
Well, I just thought of another really simple short, which is, did you know?
Yeah.
Those are like, I love the little things where the movie changed it just subtly. Maybe it fits better, it pops more, and it's more visually something that we because it stands out in our mind. But honestly, if you're going to a ball like that, and a lot of people prefer something more subtle, and she's not the type who would, I don't know. Yeah, pink just seems really loud.
Yeah,
and periwinkle blue or blue is just calm and that's sort of who Hermione is.
Yes,
but anyway,
so
cool.
I thought it was really cool.
Wow.
And then, like I said, the contrast between it should be summer and then the sadness, the fear in the castle and how it is described. I thought that was a really cool beginning of the chapter because it really conveys how desperate everyone is. And especially we have, you know, the grounds are not the same without Hagrid just roaming the grounds with his dog and just, you know, the little things that they see every day and they seem so simple and just there and yeah, okay, whatever, what's the deal with that? But when they are gone, all of a sudden you notice Hagrid's not there roaming the grounds anymore and they don't seem the same. And Harry and Ron classes are not the same.
Right.
Because
right.
Hermione is not there and they can't even visit her anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And Dumbledore is gone. The biggest thing, the school is full of fear because Dumbledore is gone. And I want to read this part real quick.
Yeah.
It says, with Dumbledore gone, fear had spread as never before, so that the sun warming the castle walls outside seemed to stop at the mullioned windows. There was barely a face to be seen in the school that didn't look worried and tense, and any laughter that rang through the corridors sounded shrill and unnatural and was quickly stifled. And Harry constantly repeated Dumbledore's final words. I will only truly have left this school when none here are loyal to me. Help will always be given at Hogwarts to those who ask for it. Harry repeats it over and over and over and over again. And just the description of the vibe at Hogwarts was like, wow. You know, like the warmth outside hit the wall and that's where it stops. Inside the castle, it's just cold and gloomy and... There's only some individuals that enjoy this new vibe.
Oh, yeah, this idea that people are gone, right? Yeah, the Slytherins, of course.
Yeah. I mean, well, not all of them. We don't want to...
I don't know. We shouldn't say all of them.
No,
but,
not all of them.
I mean, Draco is gloating to Crabbe and Goyle, so we can at least throw them in the batch.
Yeah.
But...
I thought of... Snape. So when Malfoy asks Snape if he doesn't want to be headmaster, it totally made me think of that "I'll stop at you" meme. You know what? I'll stop at you.
Oh yeah.
Can you see it in the doc? I don't know if you pull up the doc.
Yeah,
I put
it
in there.
Yep.
I should put it on Instagram when Snape's like, "Oh, Malfoy, come on."
Right, right.
Dumbledore's gonna be back soon, but he can't. Like, he's, you know, his grin on his face kind of shows.
He's like, yeah, I can do it. Although, let's be honest.
No, he won't. Yeah.
McGonagall is the one who is trusted to be next in line.
Oh,
that's
100%.
That's a big deal.
100%.
Like, never forget that.
She's a deputy headmistress.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. As much as he trusted Snape, it was more because of his motivations, right? And it's because of...
Yeah.
Of his passion.
Oh, no,
love
he wouldn't
for...
make him headmaster.
Right. So I'm saying it's cool. I'm just saying it's cool. It's a plus to McGonagall.
Yeah.
Big time. I've always loved that because she's one of my favorite characters.
Yeah.
Is that she is stepping up. Now, Draco says like, she won't last long. I'm telling you right now, if Dumbledore wasn't coming back and they all voted, they would vote her in.
Oh,
now, I get that Lucius would want like maybe Snape or somebody else. You want the Slytherin headmaster back in charge. Etc. But she's next in line. She has the most experience.
Yeah.
And I feel like
it just makes sense.
Yeah. It's cool. It's cool for me to think about that. I even wonder. I'd have to go look it up. But did she continue on as was she ultimately the headmistress for Hogwarts? I think she was too. Right after Deathly Hallows. But because it's so neat. And the other thing that Draco kind of goes on and says that he's going to tell his father that he's his favorite teacher. Well, put in a good word for you, sir. And it's just this pat on his back, like, my father got rid of Dumbledore. He's terrible. And again, Draco is just repeating what his father has said for years. That's not really anything that I think he would have developed on his own. He just came in with these preconceived ideas.
Yes.
And that's what I tell myself as a teacher all the time. I have kids who come in and they have learned stuff at home, whether it be about faith, religion, politics, just whatever it might be, just ideas about life.
You learn more about their parents sometimes.
Absolutely. You know what's being said at home and what they've learned.
Yeah.
And that comes to the school and it's mixed in then with all these other people who have different ideas, beliefs, and such. And it's very interesting.
Yeah.
However, how they come out of there.
However.
Yeah.
The next thing he says is, I think we both stopped when we listened to the audiobook this morning. You're like, whoa. Malfoy said the next Mudblood is probably going to be killed, and pity it wasn't Granger.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, that is really not okay.
No.
And I almost can't believe that Snape let it go. Even Snape, that he let slip as a teacher, he probably didn't. But you feel
like... Because it was the commotion of class. Class had just ended and Ron's running at him.
Okay.
So I feel like...
Yeah.
Yeah. Although, I don't know. I mean, who knows? Maybe he's trying to keep
it. He probably pretended he didn't hear it. Even if he did, he would just let it go.
Selective hearing.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Right. Yeah, that's awful.
But that is not... cool to say. It's not even like, you know, I wish she, I don't know, slipped in the corridor and something, or it's not like you just want to see her not succeed, but he talks about, oh, I wish she would have been killed.
Yeah. Yeah. And again, that though, if you didn't tell Draco that Hermione was a muggle or muggle born, then I think he would see great value in her and see who she is.
Yeah.
It's simply the idea that it is Mudbloods. Now, the reason he points to Hermione is because she's associated with Harry, and that's his arch nemesis, and like they're in class and paired together. The other students are not necessarily
good point. In he his just circle. Wants to.
It would have been anybody. I don't think it's anything personal really against her. Mm. It's just the fact that she is a Mudblood. And he's just repeating stuff that his father has said and what have you. And by the way, I want to mention, make a modern day reference here. He is quite literally saved by the bell. The bell rang that very next moment, right after he said that. So
yeah,
saved by the bell. It's a good TV show.
Yeah.
I used to watch it growing up. So,
anyway, so you're saying he wouldn't have said it had Ron and Harry not been there, because all he wants to do is really tick them off.
Yeah, to antagonize them.
Show them.
Because it causes Ron to leap off of his stool and scramble towards him. What is not said there, although it does say his attempts to reach Malfoy went unnoticed, that just means he turned his back and was like headed out the room. Like, I've done my damage and he's packing up to go as well.
Yeah.
But I do feel like he projects his voice so that way what he has to say, the digs he's making, can be heard around the room. So
yep. Agreed.
And that one, bell rings just in time, so...
Now, Snape's all annoyed because he's like, okay, guys, pack up because I got to like escort you to Herbology.
And how annoying. Let me just say, as a teacher, that would be so annoying.
And I was thinking about the logistics about this, because don't they have Herbology with the Hufflepuffs?
Yeah.
So who took now the Slytherins to their next class? Or do they get picked up by the next class? But if, you know, the logistics of it is crazy to me, because you always have different pairs of classes, like different houses.
Right. That's two groups splitting, going into different classes.
But you're only one teacher.
Yeah.
What do you do?
Maybe they were going back to their dorm. You know, maybe they had an off period and they're like a prefect or somebody picks them up and is taking them just back to their common room.
I just can't imagine being the headmaster and like trying to figure this out.
Coordinate that. It's crazy.
Go back. Give every teacher a time turner. And they have to go back in time and now take the Slytherins.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Well, that would solve
things. That's crazy. But yeah, we do go to one of my favorite places, though, which is to see Professor Sprout and in Herbology class. I love the idea of this life and these little herbs and plants, and it's outside, and it's, you know, you're watering things, you're nurturing them, and they're coming to life, and it's just really cool. Sprout's just got a really... good feel about her, and we show up there, and this is where we make amends with some Hufflepuffs. Thankfully.
Yeah.
You know, that didn't mean anything, but hey, they're just looking out.
Yeah.
All right. They're just actually, you know, we get on Ernie McMillan and other Hufflepuffs because they think it's possible.
Most sexual assaults go unreported. At Sarnco, we believe, empower, and advocate for all survivors. If you or someone you know has been sexually assaulted and needs support, call 844-644-6435. 844-644-6435. At Sarnco, we're here for you.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off buy rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin Marshall credit card bill.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
But Harry and Ron think it's Draco. So if you're a group of Slytherins listening to Harry, Ron, and Hermione talk and cast blame on him, that's the same thing Ernie and Hannah, Abbott, and everybody else were doing. I mean, so...
Even though it's a little different because Malfoy wishes he was the heir moment.
Yeah. We get more of, we know who Harry is more intimately, and so we know who he is as a person, and that seems egregious to accuse him of that. But a lot of times... we're realizing that Harry and the trio, they make mistakes. They assume the wrong things. And so they're kids. True. It's the whole point. I just want to point out that the Hufflepuffs are kind of like just doing the same thing that the trio is doing.
Yeah,
I would defend these Hufflepuffs because they're on the lookout. Like they're on guard.
And also they're like making assumptions. And Ron's like, oh, wow, like that's so clever of you, Ernie. But we've thought about it months ago. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And it's like, okay, but you also put way more effort into it. And instead of saying, yeah, Ernie, that's actually a good guess, but we kind of, you know, they can't really tell him they figured it out. It's not Malfoy, but he's like arrogant about it. Like, oh, we know it's not him. Like,
right,
oh my
right.
God. Yeah. And he came to the same conclusion a couple weeks ago. Mm-hmm. You know, like it seems so, and we all are guilty of that sometimes where we're like annoyed by someone
who just figured something out that we've known for so long. Yeah.
Wow. You're so clever. You think you're so clever.
Right.
But you were in that position just a couple of weeks ago.
That stuff happens all the time when I do shorts, right? People who are just like, obviously, yeah. Like, come on. I mean, it's like, okay, is it that obvious? Because then you watch the comments and there's hundreds of people who don't know it.
Yeah.
But you have some people who they've got there. They thought about the same thing and that's awesome. That's cool. And all you got to say is, you know, wow, I thought the same thing. I realized that too as well.
And we were all on different, you know, on different parts of our journey. You know, maybe Ernie knew something that they didn't know before while they learned about Malfoy.
Right.
You know
right.
what I mean? Like, and it's just
the more
it's just kids.
But. Yeah, the more and more I'm around teenagers, I realize like they just are developing all of their ideas and who they are, and they're just learning still. Yeah. They are really still young. I think a lot of people 100%. Think that teenagers are like adults and they're ready to go. They're not even close.
Thinking back, how I thought and felt and was as a teenager, and compared to now, it's so different. It's so different. Yeah. And my 20s were so important.
Right.
To
right.
figure so many things out.
Yeah.
During
yeah.
life. And I love them and I love the journey and I still love it.
Right.
But I would not want to go back to my teenage years. Yeah. They were also fun, but also full of doubts and questions and figuring stuff out. So I don't envy them.
No, and it's interesting though, I think she does a really good job of capturing kids and teenagers and what they do and how they would act and how we overlook some of what Harry does. When the Hufflepuffs do it, we're like, psh, these Hufflepuffs, get them out of here. Like, oh my gosh. But it's like, no, like Harry and Ron did the same thing just weeks prior.
Yeah.
And they're just a little bit late on that idea of Draco, and they first were looking at Harry. And it's like, okay. So it's really cool, actually. It makes a lot of them relatable because we've all been there. We've all been through that. And I think most of us listening could think back to our lives and be like, yeah, I can't believe I ever thought that or that I said that or believed that. It's just wild how we grow and develop. And you also can't even tell that to teenagers. Sometimes they just have to go through it.
Yeah.
It's great. Some sort of understand that they are in that phase and they recognize it, but most have no clue.
Yeah.
And they won't until later on. I feel like such an old fogey talking about this right now. It's like, whoa, just ancient wizard knowledge.
Hey, anyways, you're an old soul.
I am. Always have been. Okay.
So, But something else happens. We hear the apology of Renee, which is really nice. And that's a huge thing, to apologize as well. Like, that shows strength, that you are ready to apologize, you know? Instead of just letting it go and be like, okay, I guess I was wrong, but I'm not going to say anything about it, because then I would kind of show him that I, you know, show my weakness. And but he does that. So good for him. Good on Ernie. But Harry focuses on something different. He almost doesn't really care, because he sees spiders in the greenhouse. Yeah. And they run off to the Forbidden Forest. And he hasn't, mind you guys, he has not seen any spider in the castle for probably days now. After Hagrid told him to follow the spiders, there were no spiders to follow. And that's why it's so significant that he spots them. He's like, Ron, there's spiders. And I thought it was interesting. They talk about this openly before Hannah and Ernie. And they were like listening. Like, what are they talking about? The spiders following? Right. So they full on hear what Ron and Harry are talking about. But they don't, they can't, obviously. It's the middle of class. They are escorted everywhere they go during the day, so they can't go follow the spiders right now.
No, yeah, they gotta wait.
They gotta endure another class with Professor Lockhart.
Endure, yeah.
Who thinks everything is fine again.
Enjoy. I mean, hey, something, his mere presence has, like his reputation has preceded him in such that this creature would only petrify. It wouldn't kill. And now that it knows that he's been tasked with rooting it out a little bit, or that, I mean, yeah, it's I don't even remember what he said exactly, that why this creature is scared of him now. Why? Like, what's the logic there? It's illogical, right? That that it's attacking people, but all of a sudden the attacks have stopped.
Oh, because Hagrid. He says, well, yeah, because Hagrid's taken away.
Yeah, but I mean, he's still... Oh, okay. Does he never say that it's him? Doesn't he say
not
in previous chapters?
He might have, yeah.
I thought he did.
Well,
he says
something like he's going to solve the problem.
Yeah, I just felt like he was insinuating that the attacks were going to stop because of his
presence. Yeah.
Which...
He probably thinks that.
But now, definitely, you're right. Yeah. This whole chapter is about him identifying Hagrid as the culprit, and the minister wouldn't do, you know, think about that. The minister and all these other people who in the wizarding community have endorsed Lockhart and given him the Order of Merlin.
Yeah.
Right? They wouldn't just do that.
Right.
They wouldn't just do that for no reason. There's got to be a clear reason. So when you have those accolades, it's sort of like, they're not just giving that to me, right? But he's devious.
It almost makes me wonder, though, when I hear Lockhart talk like that, why not more students think like that? Because fast forward to Order of the Phoenix, how they treat Harry just based on the information they get from the from the prophet, the ministry. They were fed information. This time, information is the ministry took Hagrid away. Why? Yeah. Because they think he's guilty.
Guilty, yeah.
Why not more students are like happy that now culprit is gone, so the attacks will stop, you know? It almost makes me wonder. There's definitely a change in the wizarding world and perception and politics from here until the Order of the Phoenix. Because it seems like they all know Hagrid is not the culprit.
Right, and it's like it's not as far reaching. So in this situation, it's like Fudge has done something, and everyone kind of knows it's political theater.
Yeah.
But it is foreshadowing what he will do later on, and how he'll try to. We have to be seen doing something. We have to We have to make sure that the public opinion of our leadership is high, and that and that they know that we're about our business, and it's really Harry Potter. And so this one, it's sort of like, okay, no one has been killed yet. There's nothing really to fear just yet. It's getting close.
It's all fine,
because he's rational too. When he this last chapter, when he's like, I don't know if we should let Dumbledore go. This is not what I was expecting. Yeah. But because if Hagrid's gone, why Dumbledore too? You know, and the students are sort of like,
doesn't make sense.
But anyway,
so Harry and Ron clearly know they have to do something. Every look at Hermione's empty chair is like, you know, a little punch in the stomach. But they have to wait until everyone's gone. They want to put on their invisibility cloak again. But everyone, of course, now is in the common rooms because they can't go anywhere else after dinner. That's where everyone's at, right? So the common rooms are now the place to go. And it says they're never empty until midnight because everyone's just chatting and doing stuff. And
playing
I was
games,
like,
yeah.
What do you think was going on in other common rooms? Because we only see Gryffindor common room when everybody is locked up there.
Right. I mean, I think Ernie's still leading a table discussion about Draco. I think that's still happening.
Yeah.
Right. So they're chatting about it, speculating, wondering who's who and all that good stuff. The Ravenclaws, we don't know much about.
True. Luna's somewhere around there, isn't she?
Yeah.
She's only 1 year younger.
Right. Well, I don't know, actually. They're trying to piece together, though, logically, right, what's going down.
Some seven years are like, why? Like, we have our final exams. We're out of here in a few weeks.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I almost feel like they don't care.
True. This is an annoyance. They've got to get through their stuff, and they want to get into their jobs, and they want to take their OWLs, their NEWTs, their newts. So
just feel like
they sucks for them.
Yeah, absolutely.
This Harry Potter kid's kind of annoying.
Since he showed up every year,
crazy.
Something's going on.
Yeah.
So it's like well after midnight until they can leave the common room and go down to Hagrid's hut. And who greets them there? Fang.
Yeah.
And I was like,
good old Fang.
Think about Fang this whole time. Probably devastated that
who's
Hagrid's
taking care
gone.
Of him?
I think he told Ron and Harry feed
look
Fang.
After him. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
So I think they come down once in a while and feed him, or maybe McGonagall.
Yeah.
Someone's
it's been a couple weeks, actually.
But Fang is so happy. It says Fang went mad with joy at the sight of them. I was like, oh.
Yeah.
By the way, I wouldn't have gone. If it's already after midnight, I would have been like, nah.
Well, let's wait for tomorrow. Yeah,
I can't.
It's a bad time to go.
We got to get up tomorrow morning. I'm like, I need my sleep.
Right.
But they're full of adventure. They have a mission they have to figure out. Because no one else seems to make an effort to really figure out who it is. So they take Fang, who knows the forest, who goes with Hagrid all the time. And I think the description of the forest is so cool. It's not just dark in there. It is pitch black.
Yeah.
Like, imagine, so they haven't learned Lumos Maximum yet. Mm-hmm. So it's cool that Harry's little Lumos spell is like a tiny light that is just enough to spot some spiders on the ground.
Yeah.
But again, everything else around it is blackness. So you can't see anything.
Mm-hmm.
And then they, for like half an hour, they try and follow the spiders, and Harry has to crouch down on the floor all the time or on the ground and find the spiders. Where did they go? And they keep going into the heart of the forest. They don't know where they're at anymore.
Right.
And Arthur's car shows up before they even encounter the big spiders, you know?
Yeah, right before.
Yeah, Crimantulas.
Yeah.
And that's also different to the movie. And I want to believe here that part of Arthur's spirit is in the car, is trying to protect them.
Yeah, yeah.
Because in the movie,
otherwise, why? Why would it show up? Why does it greet them?
It's almost like, a dog would greet its owner.
Right. It doesn't leave the Forbidden Forest with them. It actually just stops later on at the edge of the forest. And so it comes when they most need it.
Yeah.
And it's there later as they're being about to be eaten. It will show up and rescue them.
Yeah.
So I think that's a really good point. I think it could be Arthur's spirit.
100%.
We don't understand. Like, that's advanced magic.
It is. Arthur, we talked about it in our short, and everyone loved it. Arthur's like one of the most watched videos.
Yeah,
and everyone loves Arthur. Yeah. And I didn't know. You know, I always thought he was awesome, but I didn't know how he was received by the majority of fans.
Right,
and
right.
Everyone thinks he's baller.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he is powerful. And you don't be deceived by his silliness sometimes, or his
quirkiness. Yeah.
His quirkiness. Yeah.
Yeah.
He is powerful. And the spells he put on this car, he's miles away, but they're still not going. You know, like the car is still bewitched. It still has that magic in it.
Yeah.
And it's, I feel like, because the wizard who, almost like you talked about Voldemort and the wand and like putting magic into a certain item is part of him.
Oh my gosh, it's a really great point. So,
you know,
when they're discussing later on in the series, Dumbledore sort of explains that Voldemort's wand, when they connected, it was Harry's bravery that actually trumped Voldemort's wand when they both connect, right, for the first time.
Yeah.
But when they connected, Harry's wand sort of took on. So it's an object, that it's a magical object. I mean, this is, again, just a car.
Yeah.
But still, the wand took on some of the powers, the what was known from the other wand.
Right.
So the other wand had learned spells and things that it was more experienced and more powerful. Harry's wand had taken on some of those things.
Yeah.
So this car has taken on a lot of things from Arthur Weasley. And it has essentially, it's got some of its owners or whatever, like, I guess, thoughts or ideas or beliefs or a kinship with Ron.
Yeah. And 100%. I believe that.
Yeah.
That's a little part of Arthur there that we see. And I do think that the movie car gives us a little bit of a different picture, because we feel like it's throwing out Harry and Ron and Hedwig when they arrive, right? Mm-hmm. And then in the forest, also, they get thrown out of the car, almost like the car wants to get rid of them.
Yeah, yeah.
And that doesn't really happen. And it just, to me, that was...
It feels more protective in the book. It feels more like it's looking after them, kind
of. Yes.
Thing. Right.
So, but the joy of the sight of the car in the forest is very short, because just when they realized, oh, that's awesome, the car and the lights, you know, we can see a little bit.
Right.
They get carried away. They get taken by something big, carried away, and they don't realize it at first, but they get carried away by spiders. So
just
they
like the hobbits in Mirkwood.
They are.
Jiminy Christmas.
Oh my gosh. And it says, so the spiders, and it says they go down a slope.
Yeah.
So we are not just going.
Spider cave.
Yeah, it's like going down there, and everything around you is full of those spiders.
You think Spider-Man could have taken Aragog? You think Spider-Man could have?
Spider-Man?
Sorry.
Probably, yeah. I mean, yes, I do think so.
Okay, all right, cool.
Sorry. I actually do think so.
I just thought of like the Bat Cave, and I thought of the Spider Cave because of Aragog, you know, and I was thinking,
ooh,
of Spider-Man.
What if Aragog or one of his acromantulas bites you? Do you turn into Spider-Man?
In this universe, in Harry Potter, could there be a Spider-Man?
You know, like
in
werewolves?
Harry Potter? Yeah. Whoa, that's a good thought.
That's funny.
Crossover.
It says Aragog is described as the size of a small elephant.
That's scary.
And he's got like white, his hair is like gray and white. And his eyes are white.
Now, hold on.
So he's blind.
I want you, everyone listening, look over at the nearest door and imagine an elephant trying to come through, and imagine the size of that spider trying to come through. That is huge.
That is so disgusting.
Huge.
Oh my gosh. I would run for my life.
Oh yeah, but what if it was trying to get in here? I mean, that is crazy.
And it has eight legs.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Six, right? Sorry,
six
legs eyes, right?
No, they have eight legs. It says it carries them on six legs, and the other two are holding Harry.
Oh, what's the difference
between?
It's
got pincers.
So spiders have
every
six
spiders
legs?
Have eight legs, and every insects
have
six legs.
Oh, okay, gotcha. So each leg has.
I took four semesters of biology.
Oh yeah! Wait, one, two, three, four, five, six.
I'm telling you, I
know some stuff. Legs.
Yeah, that's why, sweetie. That's why I think they are arachnids, because doesn't that mean eight?
Don't know.
Does arachnids mean eight? What are arachnids? Arachnids include spiders. Okay, scorpions, mites, and ticks. There you go. They have eight legs, not six legs like insects. So that's cool. That's something new. I thought arachnids mean spiders, but arachnids include spiders. But scorpions, mites, and ticks are also arachnids, not insects. Oh, that makes sense. That's cool.
Okay.
See, we're learning something even for the real world.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, I don't know. I try to forget that spiders exist.
Oh, me too. But you always rescue me from them, so thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. You're welcome. All right, so Aragog, though, this old guy was, we wasn't born in the castle, just so you guys know. That is not where he was born from. This is not any ordinary spider. He came in the pocket of a traveler, right? Didn't he?
Yes,
and,
he did.
And Hagrid, well, you know, sort of adopted Aragog and then raised him and was befriended him. And during that, just coincidentally, during the time that the chamber was opened, this other beast, the basilisk, is loose.
Yeah.
And Tom wants to stay. He tries to keep, oh, I got to cast blame somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And here's old Hagrid, who's a little strange and who has a monster. Let's blame it on that monster.
Yeah, I mean, what are the chances that there's more than one monster at Hogwarts?
You know, it's a good thing that monster got, the monster, air quote, the Aragog got away, because Dumbledore and others could have looked and said, how does this creature kill? And
yeah.
I wonder if they looked at Myrtle and like exactly how was it done, you know?
Right. You mean at Aragog?
Yeah. The mechanism of killing. Like, they would have investigated
it. Yeah, that's like the easiest hint. They have like pincers.
Yeah. And so that's
And
really...
the girl was not, there's no mark, nothing.
Right. So I feel like it's a good thing that the spider did get away. Maybe Tom knows that and makes it look convincing and allows it to get away.
Knowing
full well that he almost caught this monster, because I feel like it'd be a dead giveaway. This is not the monster.
Yeah,
and you can look at that. But sometimes you want to find something to cast blame on a certain situation, and you're just looking for a scapegoat to say, "Boom, this is the thing."
Now I wonder if Tom would have gone back somehow to the girl and faked some teeth marks, some pincer marks or something.
Yeah, conjured something
up.
Interesting. Was he interested in Aragog, Tom Riddle, that is?
Yeah.
Because his old Professor Slughorn said that their venom, right, is powerful. It's extremely expensive. Was he trying? Remember, he was trying to bribe his professor with certain things, and he wanted to get close with him. Perhaps maybe he sees this, and he in the back of his mind was like, one day I could use that to my advantage.
Yeah.
Get a hold of old Aragog and get that. You know.
Oh my goodness.
Pretend like I found it, kill it, and pass it on to Slughorn.
That's crazy that... Oh my goodness. That's so crazy that Slughorn is there when Aragog is young and Hagrid raises him. And then Slughorn is there when Aragog dies.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah, it's wild.
Interesting.
Love old Slughorn.
But what also makes me wonder is... Moaning Myrtle, the girl was found in that bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
And the teachers know about Moaning Myrtle. Dumbledore knows about Moaning Myrtle. Mm-hmm. Doesn't he?
Yeah, he knows that was the girl.
She was there.
Yeah.
And he knows that's her. And he never thinks about asking her. And B, she never says anything. Like, doesn't she hear... people talk about this whole chamber being opened again, and doesn't she want to share?
You wonder at what point does she come back to haunt her own toilet? You know, I maybe it was years later, and then she shows up there and she's moaning Myrtle. But yeah, do they ever look that closely at the situation? Does she show? I mean, how, you know, I'm just thinking, when does a ghost? How long does it take for an individual to develop into a ghost, and then they're haunting
Good
it?
Question.
Time has passed, and then there's a ghost upstairs haunting the girl's bathroom. What's her name? Moaning Myrtle. That's what the kids are calling her. Who knows? They don't look into it much, and then the time has passed, and we don't know what it was. Yeah, why didn't Dumbledore look into it more? Did he? And then he just stored that away and sort of.
Well, like, maybe.
Hold on a second. Yeah, what? Sorry to interrupt, but was it a memory that Dumbledore had where he went and questioned Moaning Myrtle? And it was around the time that Gilderoy was at school and he was trying out his memory charm powers. And it was right when Dumbledore was investigating this, and he cast a memory charm and he took a memory away from Dumbledore. Dumbledore said, I'm going to start collecting these memories in a pensieve. Because I know I talked to that girl. I know I did, right? You see what I'm saying?
No.
One of the most powerful wizards of all time. Gilderoy Lockhart. Also, can I make a really cool connection while I'm thinking about it too? So what is Gilderoy Lockhart known for? What's his most powerful spell?
The memory charm.
The memory charm. And what is it that clues us in about all this different stuff? Whose memory? Tom Riddle's memory, right? It's his book. It's his diary. Right. Yeah. It's all about memories. Mm-hmm. This whole thing. This thing is kind of cool. Like, all along, the hint, the foreshadowing that memory charms are... See, right up until this point, you have no idea that Gilderoy is powerful with memory charms.
True.
And it's Tom Riddle's diary. It's Tom Riddle's memory. And it's Moaning Myrtle's memory that take us back to this time in the mm-hmm. past.
Yeah.
And what happened there, right? And so it's just interesting that later on it happens to be a memory charm that he's really good at. Just a connection. Just a small little, you know, intricate writing. Just cool things.
I guess so. But I'm sorry to... to kind of bust your theory about Dumbledore and, you know, I mean, good what? Approach on my question. Like, why what? Didn't they ask Moaning
bust
Myrtle?
What?
But I do think Moaning Myrtle didn't really see the monster either, right? She just remembers is just eyes.
Yeah.
So it doesn't really help.
And she says it came from over there.
Oh, she did.
I thought she said this in the next chapter. Gosh. We'll have to go look. But then it's like maybe she forgot to say that or whatever. And they just think she's crazy. Because Dumbledore's too smart. He would have to have... I mean, that's a short right there. Why didn't Dumbledore question Moaning Myrtle about the Chamber of Secrets?
Yeah.
I mean, they're... Okay, you know, now Lucius Malfoy, there's a point to be made here. He's lost it a little bit. Dumbledore's lost a step. What's he obsessing over right now?
Yeah.
And actually, he's not even really on to the whole... I mean, maybe because of Quirrell, he's thinking about... Like, the conversations about... Voldemort are back
mm-hmm.
and he's doing some independent research and stuff and he's thinking more about Voldemort and he's less worried about this Chamber of Secrets and Slytherin business, but lo and behold, it's actually connected to Voldemort, and that's where the aha moment comes in year two, because he says that once he gets that diary, he's like, wow, okay, this right here is a Horcrux. That's what he's thinking early on. So anyway, interesting thoughts. I don't know, I feel like uh-oh, what'd you find? Something good?
Yeah. Okay, let's move on real quick because I have another theory.
Okay, good. All right.
So they learn two important things from Aragog. Harry's right. Like, Harry has it together. That's when we see Harry shine. Real quick, Ron is paralyzed. He's like staring with
his great fear.
Open mouth, and which is okay. He's too fearful to do anything. Harry, though, in those situations, he's quick. And he always says later on, when everyone thinks he would be a great teacher doing Order of the Phoenix, right? Mm-hmm, he would be their DADA teacher.
Yeah.
He's always like, nah, I'm always just lucky, and it wasn't really me. No, Harry, you are so quick when you're in situations like that, when it's about life and death.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And he tries to keep the spider talking. He tries to keep Aragog talking. And they are actually learning Hagrid is innocent. And there is a girl mm-hmm. in a bathroom. And right now, he doesn't really make the connection. But later on, he will. But Aragog's like, I'm tired. You're just friends of Hagrid's. I don't care, really. And my kids, they're all hungry.
They're hungry.
So bye, friends.
And they've
of
been
Hagrid.
Griping for years. I don't feed them enough.
Yep.
All right, here you go. Take them.
So he says, you can eat them. You can kill them.
Mm-hmm.
See ya, friends of
Bye.
Hagrid. And Harry and Ron almost face their death here because they are not. I know in the
can
movie.
Can you imagine how bad Hagrid would felt?
I know.
That's crazy.
It is crazy.
Sorry.
In the movie, we see them fight a little bit, but I doubt they know. I mean, they know a couple of spells like Rictum Sempra's, like the tickle spell or like. But there's so many of them. They're surrounded that they know they can't fight them all.
Mm-hmm.
And here comes Arthur's spirit
yep.
in the form of the car and rescues his son and Harry. And they just get in. Ron just grabs Fang. Fang's like terrified as well. And they throw him in the car. They get in and the car drives up the slope.
Out
of the forest, and they finally see some sky again. I think Ron even vomits in the pumpkin patch.
Oh, he does. Absolutely.
He's
and I
like,
don't blame him at
no.
all.
And he's like, what the heck, Hagrid? Mm-hmm. Like, he didn't even realize. Like, he's like, what did we learn? Why did we even go there? And, you know, Harry's like, no, we learned a whole lot. We know Hagrid is innocent. That's
mm-hmm,
huge.
Mm-hmm.
But... I was wondering, do we ever see the car again after this? Because the car is you know, they just get out and the car goes back to the to the Forbidden Forest, and we kind of learn it looks a little wild, almost like the car is now part of the forest and lives in the wilderness.
Yeah.
And I was just looking up that Harry Potter's flying car almost there's an article on Screen Rant. Harry Potter's flying car almost returned, even though it's wrong, whatever. Almost returned in the final movie. Why it didn't? And there were almost plans to bring back the Weasleys Fort Anglia for a major scene in the last movie, but Rowling ultimately decided against it. They kind of go over the Chamber of Secrets events. But there's a deleted scene in the film. Ron mentioned that the fort had turned wild after it was left in the Forbidden Forest. This was a line of dialogue taken in the novel, which was expanded by the fact that the car saved Harry and Ron from Aragog's family. The car supposedly returned to the forest and didn't serve as a vital component of the plot. The fate of the Fort Anglia was unclear, but that almost wasn't the case since Rowling considered bringing the vehicle back during the Battle of Hogwarts. While writing the book series, the author hinted that the car would return, which would have paved a way to bring it back in the final movie installment. Of course, that never came to fruition. Mm-hmm. She considered bringing back the Fort Anglia in the Deathly Hallows for this climactic battle against Lord Voldemort. There was a plan for Ron to be targeted by Death Eaters before the car would have flown out of the Forbidden Forest, driving the enemies right into the castle wall. After defending Ron, the car's headlights would have slowly gone out like it passed away following the heroic act.
Wow.
Here's my theory, because I remembered at that moment also that didn't we read about her almost killing Arthur Weasley? She thought about killing Arthur Weasley.
Yeah.
And I was like, would that not be the perfect thing to kind of bring Arthur back and protect his son? Like, you know, through the car.
Oh, you mean had Arthur died?
Had she killed Arthur throughout the series?
Oh.
And then brought the Fort Anglia back in that moment to protect Ron during the Battle of Hogwarts. That would have been the perfect, like, Arthur's
what
protection.
If Arthur was a ghost driving that Fort Anglia? Could you imagine?
I mean, yeah. That's wow. One of the, you know, we always talk about the little things that you lay out as an author that you might be able to use later on.
Yeah.
And I mean, that would have been a great thing. But of course, you pick and choose, and some things never make it.
You want to keep Mr. Weasley. It's enough that you took Fred. I mean, that's too much. So,
yeah.
Yeah. So, wow. Interesting. Still would have been cool, even if Arthur Weasley, you know, survives like he does. And if she would have brought the Ford back into play during the battle and it just protected Ron at some point.
Yeah.
That would have been sick.
Yeah.
Damn. That's cool. Okay.
So.
Ideas, thoughts. All right. Yeah. Wow.
Just thought it was
cool. Well, it's good. It's a good chapter. It's a good, you know, we're getting close to the end here and lots of little things. Lots of little tiny, yeah, we had some good conversations in there about Myrtle, Periwinkle, and, you know, going all the way back to the beginning there. And Voldemort and objects carrying some of their, like some of the enchantment that animates these objects. Maybe carrying on some of the spirit of the person who cast the spell work. So it's cool.
One more thing I thought was cool here at the end. When Harry thinks about the words that Aragog spoke over and over again, because he's looking for hints. No one can solve this puzzle really. So they're like, he's like, the creature that was lurking somewhere in the castle, he thought, sounded like a sort of monster, Voldemort. Even other monsters didn't want to name it. I was like, wow.
Yeah, it's true.
Because it is actually Voldemort's monster.
Yes.
And both of them don't want to be like
the monster who
doesn't want to be
who shall not be named.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know who.
You know who.
Just don't, yeah. So
he
really
must
cool.
not be, yeah. What did they say? Yeah.
Cool connection. And Harry's almost onto it. And then he feels so stuck because his friends, Hermione is gone, Dumbledore's gone, Hagrid's gone, and he can't seem to figure it out. Because Harry goes over it again and again and again and again, sometimes you feel like you're going in circles. You're not figuring something out. But you kind of wire your brain to search for it, and that's when the memory of Aragog speaking about moaning Myrtle emerges again. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like he searches for the answer and it's somewhere within him.
Yeah, yeah.
And it just takes a little bit until he figures it out. Yeah. And he's like, wait a second. A girl in her bathroom. What if she never left?
Mm-hmm.
And Ron's like, you don't mean like Myrtle, right?
Yeah, it's really just an aha moment. So you've wondered, you've thought about something. Yeah, I guess whatever it is. And then all of a sudden you're like, oh yeah, that's what it is. Or that's the thing I was trying to think about or get to.
Yeah.
An aha moment for sure is something that I think a lot of people can relate to. Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's really cool.
Most of the time it's when we've lost something. Where was that?
Oh my gosh, yes.
Think about it.
Yeah.
Where was I last at? And then, yeah.
And I know some might have thought about this before when they read it the first time. And they're like, why don't you ask Myrtle?
Mm-hmm.
She must have been the one. But I didn't really figure it out before he said it. I was like, oh my goodness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So that's the end of this chapter.
Right.
I don't know. Why I enjoyed it so much, I can't really say. Other than this is actually the first chapter I've ever read about or ever got in contact with a Harry Potter book. Because my mother was reading it to my brother. She started with Chamber of Secrets because she was just borrowing the book from a friend. And she was currently reading Sorcerer's Stone. And she had bought the first two books. So my mom just grabbed the second book, not knowing, okay, it's like kind of important to read the first book first. But she started reading it to my brother. And this was the chapter I kind of listened in on. And it was like, spiders, nope, I'm out.
Right.
But it was pretty much my first encounter with the wizarding world. And now reading this, probably like 20 years later, and it's everything's so different, and how much the series now means to me and the story means to me. It was just such a cool experience.
Yeah.
So, yeah, really enjoyed this chapter for that reason.
It's cool. Nice.
All right.
Anything else?
No.
I don't want to cut you short.
Get all your yes, you do. Oh, yes, you do.
Do I? What? No, I don't.
Sorry.
No, it's okay. It's cool to make connections to the book and think back and have nostalgia attached to a particular chapter or a book or an experience or whatever it might be. So I reread them so many times that I can't remember all the different times that I've read them. I think this one's going to be the most memorable because we've done a podcast with it and we're reading through it and having a good time. But yeah, they all sort of blended together. And the big memory I have when I think of Harry Potter rereads is just me driving to and from work and it getting me through rough times, you know, and just being a nice place to, I actually a couple times cried during the Harry Potter series.
Me too.
Yeah, just because it is emotional and I had a lot going on with my mom. And anytime that like Harry's mom is mentioned or things like that, it just was like, wow, it just really, lots of different things stuck out that were interesting. So.
True.
All right, friends. Well, hey, it was a good chapter overall. Really good chapter. Really good stuff. And I'm excited to continue on. And this has been, it just keeps growing in excitement for me because the deeper we get into the series, the more thick it gets and the more characters are introduced. I mean, there's some 700 characters in this series.
Nuh-uh.
Yeah.
Nice.
I read that the other day that there's over 700 different characters.
That's awesome.
And I was like, wow, that's a lot. That's a lot. And when you stop to think about it, all the different little names or different mentions.
I love it.
Yeah.
So. It just makes it so much more real that we have so many different individuals.
Yeah, it does. It would be it would be odd if you didn't reference other students at all and it just felt like there was just this blank sort of, you know, bringing them in, even if you don't bring them back, you know, later on in the series, but bringing in Hannah and Ernie and Jay Finch and the ghost and all the stuff. It's really cool and really important. So
yeah.
Great series. All right. Is that it? There we go.
Uh-huh.
That's it, friends. All right. Hey, thank you guys for listening. We appreciate you. Be sure to check out, I think going forward, and I've said this multiple times, but in Prisoner, we're going to drop some Harry Potter theory episodes from our Harry Potter Hangout YouTube. We're going to drop those as standalones. We're also going to be dropping some of those as Patreon episodes too. The ones that are really cool where I really want to kind of elaborate on stuff. And I think it'll just be a cool way to get another search term out there for the podcast. And you know, I think...
Yeah.
We're going to be posting some of these over on YouTube as well because we have you know, 1 minute short to talk about something really important, a really intriguing, interesting thought or idea, things that still have questions, things that are forgotten in the series, and you only have 1 minute to kind of capture that. So right. We want to have like a 4 minute conversation or a 5 minute conversation about that, either over on YouTube and then even a little longer conversation about it here on the podcast. So be looking forward to that. Thank you guys so much for, you know, supporting the podcast over on Patreon and Apple Premium. We're dropping both the episodes there. And thank you guys for, you know, reviewing the podcast and following us over at Fleur and Bill. We appreciate you guys. So
we do.
But that is all for this week. Thank you for tuning in to 94.7 COZY. We hope that you'll join us in the future. We thoroughly enjoy meeting those new positive Potter people that don't behave like babbling, bumbling bands of baboons. And I think the person, somebody who wrote to us, they're like, I'm not a, you know, babbling, bumbling baboon.
Yes.
And whoever that was.
Oh my goodness. No, I know.
Yeah, that was really sweet. I was like, oh yeah, it's good.
That was Rika. Rika.
Oh yeah.
Oh my goodness. Rika, don't worry. We got your message. I'll get back to you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, thank you so much for writing in.
Yeah,
loved cool. Hearing about your story and everything. So
yeah,
thanks.
Anybody else from Europe who wants to write in? It's like, what is that? All right. Hey, if you don't want to miss out on the next episode, be sure to subscribe to our podcast, leave us that review, and follow us over on social media at Fleur and Bill.
If you truly enjoy our content, consider supporting our growing wizarding family on Patreon or Apple Premium. You'll find all the links down below.
Dinks?
I always make mistakes when I read this.
The links of the dinks.
It's like my thing. So you'll find all the links, you know, like in Zelda, down below. Thank you so much to all our current patrons. We appreciate you to the moon and back. And if you want to win Harry Potter and the Order of Phoenix, the illustrated version, or Harry Potter and the Philosopher's Stone, the Hufflepuff version, or the official Harry Potter cookbook, or a surprise Harry Potter Funko Pop, or
Whoa.
A Harry Potter style t-shirt designed by Fleur and Bill, then make sure you leave us that review on Apple. We highly, highly appreciate it. And after our first 50 reviews, we will start drawing those five prizes. So your chances are high.
Yeah. Challenge for some of you who already have. Grab your coworker's phone and leave a review. Come on. I'm just kidding.
Really?
I'm sorry.
Come on.
I'm just kidding. I'm
do
kidding.
It. No, yeah, we just appreciate it.
It just helps the podcast, yeah. And we do appreciate you guys so much. So
love you guys. You. Next week, we will be back with our reread of Harry Potter and the Chamber of Secrets. Oh, my gosh. I'll do that again. Next week, we will be back with our reread of Harry Potter and the Chamber of Secrets with Chapter 16, The Chamber of Secrets. So make sure to tune back in next time. And until then, have a great rest of your week. Thanks for joining us in our shell cottage today. We know it's not much, but it's home.
Wait a second. Is there always a chapter that's named after the title of the book?
Is there the Philosopher's Stone?
Sorcerer's Stone, Philosopher's Stone. We gotta go look.
The Deathly Hallows.
We're reading chapter whatever, the Chamber of Secrets in the book, The Chamber of Secrets.
Knox.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.